of us have experienced loneliness in our lives. I suspect that if I asked you to put up your hands, probably all of us would put up our hands to say that at some point we've experienced those lonely times. Sometimes maybe a short time, but for some people it's longer. And I know I certainly have experienced it in my life. I remember probably the worst time was when we moved down here. Mark and I, we'd just got married. I'd changed jobs. I'd changed church, moving into a house. And I remember how odd that felt. And I think the moment when it hit me the most was I don't know what that was. No good hiding up there, Helen. But I remember that I'd been at work just a few days, and I'd managed to find my way into Montague Street. And I was just walking up there, and it just suddenly hit me, and I thought, I don't know anybody. You know, when you've lived in a place like I had in Stoke-on-Trent all my life, that you invariably, you know, you walk around and you bump into somebody. And I remember just stopping in the middle of the street and thinking, I don't know anybody, and nobody knows me. And just that feeling at that point of just feeling alone. And I thought, if something happened to me at this moment, if I drop down here in the middle of the street, who would know me? Who wouldn't? And I don't know if you've ever got to that point where you just suddenly realise. Now, the reality of it was that I'm not alone. You know, I have Mark. I have got a family at home. But there are those times when we just feel a little bit of a disconnection. Maybe it's because of circumstances. Maybe it's because of things that have happened. But, you know, you have those moments. You know, if you're new to a place, what I was finding was everyone that I met, I was meeting for the first time, and I never got past, oh, hello, my name's Denise. Yes, I have just moved down here. No, I'm not from Liverpool. I'm from Stoke-on-Trent. Where's that? It's between Manchester and Birmingham. Yes, I've just got married. You know, and it was just saying the same things, and you miss that conversation with friends. You miss the depth of relationship that only comes from spending time with people and from having built that up. I've looked up some facts about loneliness. There was a study by the Co-op and the British Red Cross, and they say that over 9 million people in the UK, across all the adult ages, that's more than the population of London, are either always or often lonely. But almost two-thirds of people are uncomfortable about admitting it. And what does that do when we don't admit it? It exacerbates the problem, because you then withdraw from people. Some research commissioned by the Eden Project, you may have heard of that, they organise things like the Big Lunch. And they found that disconnected communities could be costing the UK economy £32 billion every year. Another survey by Action for Children found that 43% of 17 to 25-year-olds who use their service had experienced problems with loneliness, and that of this same group, less than half said they felt loved. It's quite sobering, isn't it? It's sad when you think that. They've also reported that 24% of parents surveyed said they were always or often lonely. Can understand that, can't we? You know, if people like us, you move to an area, you've not got any contacts, or maybe if relationships have broken up and you're a single parent family, and you've just not got the time to go out and make those friendships and make those contacts. Another research by a group called Sense has shown that up to 50% of disabled people will be lonely on any given day. 50% of disabled people will be lonely on any given day. And the majority of adults in the UK who experience loneliness are afraid that no one will notice if something bad happened to them. You know that song that we listened to, Eleanor Rigby, lady on her own who died, nobody comes to the funeral. And it's that line that says that her name, she's buried with her name. Like, that's it. And so that's a fear that a lot of people carry, that, that no one will notice if something bad happens to them. And I don't want to depress you all this morning, but actually we need to recognise that, you know, if we want to be relevant as a church, as a community, we need to know what the needs are that, that people have and what are the things in our community that that are a problem. And, I've said many times before, when I look how many people live in flats around here, how many of you know that sometimes living in a flat can be a really lonely existence? It's not like you've got neighbours in a street. And I just think, how many lonely people do we have just in this area around us? A definition of loneliness is that it's a feeling of personal isolation in a busy and crowded world. You can be alone and not be lonely, but you can be surrounded by many people and still be lonely. Loneliness is a feeling of isolation from others, whether they are near or far. So loneliness, it's a reality. It's not something that, that we imagine. And it's something that the majority of people will deal with at some point in life. And I'm sure that if I asked, and I'm not going to, but if I asked this morning for anyone here that's feeling lonely, there would be people that would put their hands up. And I bet you're thinking, I'm feeling lonely, but nobody else here will be feeling lonely. Because look, they've all got friends, they all know each other. You know, the needs has got Mark here, or whatever. We can look around and think that everybody else is fine and we are the only ones. But actually, I think if the truth be told, we would be surprised at how many people would admit to feeling lonely. And actually, sometimes as Christians, we can feel embarrassed about that because we think, but we shouldn't feel lonely because, you know, we know Jesus. We're following God. We know that we're loved. But actually, take some comfort in the fact that as we read through the Bible, at the different books that we read in the Bible, there are many people that go through phases of loneliness. I'm sure, I'll throw a couple out, but just have a think for a second, if you can think, and there might be one or two that maybe not so obvious, but when we think about it, if you can think of someone in the Bible that went through a period where either they felt lonely, isolated. So I can give you one, Elijah. Do you remember when the prophets of Baal, God had set fire to the offering. Elijah ran out and then he hit the desert. And then he just suffered the most awful depression and sense of loneliness. And he said to God, just finish me off. I am the only prophet left. And we know that God looked after him. And then God says to Elijah, as he sends him out again to carry on his work, and he says, oh, by the way, Elijah, you're not the only one. There are 7,000 other prophets beside you. So Elijah's one. Anyone else? Jacob. Yeah. 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 Jonah. Yeah, they'd have been very lonely in that whale, wouldn't they? Job. Yeah. Talk about someone that, loses everything. David, look in the Psalms. You know, if you're struggling with feeling lonely, or you feel that, you're in a difficult situation, read through the Psalms and read what David writes there. He's so honest. Actually, that gives us permission to be honest, doesn't it, with each other and with God. What about from the New Testament? Sorry? Zacchaeus, yeah. Yeah, that moment on the cross when Jesus cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? How lonely must Jesus have felt the first time that he's ever been separated from his Father? Someone you might not think about is Paul. If you read in Timothy, the last days of Paul's life, he's in prison. And there's that little passage that he talks about how people, you know, this person's gone here and somebody's abandoned me and somebody else is sick and he's there. And then he says to Mark, can you come and see me? Can you make haste and come to me? And can you bring me my coat? Because it's getting cold. And we don't think of Paul, of, you know, sort of suffering that. And yet, Yet he must have the times when, you know, people rejected him and he was chased out of places. So even people like Jesus and Paul know what it is to be lonely, have experienced that sense of isolation, of that being separated, of not having people there around them when they need them. So we shouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed to think, you know what, actually I'm feeling really lonely. David in Psalm 102 says this, he says, I am like an owl in the desert, like a little owl in a far-off wilderness. I lie awake, lonely as a solitary bird on the roof. My enemies taunt me day after day. They mock and curse me. He understands, doesn't he? He knows what it's like. But you know what? The thing is that we weren't created to be alone or to be lonely. Do you know the first thing that God says, that, you know, in Genesis, when he's created everything and he looks at it and he says it's good, and then he looks again and he finds something that isn't so good. The first thing that God says, actually, that's not good. And it's this, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So when God created us, he created us with a space in us, a part in us that needed love, that needs to be known. God recognised in Adam a need for contact with another human being. God looked, you know, there's the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that got that relationship. And then he looks at Adam and he said, you know, Adam's got us, but actually he needs someone else. A recognition that we need other people. I don't know who it was who says no man is an island, but that's true, that we weren't meant to be alone. We need contact with other people. And so we've been designed to be loved and to belong. And when that affection and that fellowship is lost, that's when we become happy. That's when we begin to feel restless and lonely. So if you're struggling with loneliness, you are not alone. And it's not something that that is wrong with you as such. But it's just reflecting who we are as people. And we'll all experience seasons of isolation for one reason or another. And most of the time we can get over it, can't we? You know, I started to make friends. I got to know people. Being part of a church really helped me. And so there are things that we can do. But sometimes there are a whole load of personal factors, aren't there, and circumstances that can make that connection with other people difficult. You know, maybe you've experienced the loss of a loved one. You know, it's hard. You miss that presence, that person being with you. Or maybe you've had a relationship that's broken up. Maybe you've had a disability that's kept you at home and you're not able to make contact with people. Or maybe you've been hurt by a friendship and it's been so bad that you've thought, actually, I don't know that I want a friend anymore. And you take a step back. And sometimes we sort of put up a bit of a barrier to try and protect ourselves. But actually, all that does is make the problem worse, because that barrier doesn't just protect us, but it separates us from people. And it makes it difficult then for someone to approach us and to make that friendship with us. We hold ourselves back. So maybe, you know, like me, you'd moved, and maybe that longing for old friendships prevents you making new ones. So there are many ways that loneliness can take over our lives. But whatever it is that's contributing to our loneliness, the way out begins with confronting the cause of loneliness that every human being has to come to terms with. And that's a spiritual loneliness. Because what happened in that story in Genesis, in the garden, was that God, as he created man to be in relationship with him and in fellowship with each other, we messed up. We did something. Adam and Eve sinned. And what happened was that relationship, that friendship that should have been there, was broken. and the barrier of sin came in. And suddenly, here we are, all human beings left with that empty space within us that was meant for relationship with God. And it's very sad, isn't it? That bit in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, after Adam and Eve had taken the fruit and then realized, they suddenly became aware that they were naked and they covered themselves in leaves and hid themselves. Genesis 3:8 says, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you? Where are you?'" He'd never had to ask that before. They'd walked together in the garden. They had this wonderful friendship, and suddenly Adam and Eve are not there. They've broken that friendship. And that's God's cry to us even today. Where are you? When we don't know him, where are you? He's looking for us. He's looking for those people to bring to himself, to restore that relationship with. And the only way that could be brought about, the only way that loneliness of the soul can be healed and restored, is through Jesus. There are lots of causes of loneliness, and there are probably practical things that we can do and begin to do to make the situations better. But even when we do that, that loneliness of the soul will still be there unless we restore our relationship with God. And we can't do that on our own. Jesus has done that for us. Those songs that we sang earlier on, looking at the cross, looking at what Jesus has done for us, being thankful for that, because it's only through Jesus and his death and his resurrection that we are now able to restore that friendship with God. You know, when we do that, when we've restored that friendship, when we have him dwelling in us, we are not alone. We are never alone. He never leaves us. He never abandons us. Doesn't mean that our physical and our emotional situations, that we don't find loneliness, but for that place, that deepest place where it counts the most, we can know that friendship and that love that comes from knowing Jesus, from the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and working through us. So that's the most important relationship. And when we get that relationship right, we can begin to build and restore other relationships that we may have that are broken, or relationships, we can begin to form relationships with people. Because what happens when we accept Jesus' offer of salvation, God becomes our Heavenly Father. And then he places us in a family. And we become part of a small family like we are here, a wider family. And in actual fact, we're a part of a worldwide family of people that belong to Jesus. We're not alone. We have him and we have each other. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, "He never will leave us. He'll never forsake us." Another thing that David wrote was this, and actually it's these verses that started me thinking about this at the beginning of the week as I read these verses. Psalm 68 verses 5 to 6. And this is David describing God. "Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy." Don't you think that is just a wonderful promise? If you are feeling isolated, if you are feeling lonely this morning, just listen to this again. "Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families." If you're lonely this morning, look around. This is your family. "He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy." What is holding you back from maybe forming those relationships, those friendships? What are the things that maybe have happened to you that have caused you to take a step back, to put those walls up? What are the things that maybe you need to be set free from so that you can enjoy these relationships that God has put before you, that relationship with Him. Because, you know, if those things are affecting your ordinary relationships, they can affect your relationships with Him too. But when we are set free, we're given joy. So we need to take possession of this abundant life that God wants us to have. And how do we do that? Well, it starts by spending regular quality time, first of all, with our Heavenly Father. Because when we spend time with Him, especially when we're on our own, sometimes we can treat that time when we're on our own as, you know, as dead time, as, you know, and not appreciate it. One of the lovely things about being on sabbatical has been just having time. I actually haven't seen a lot of people, but what I have had is time and space to be able to read and think. And it's such a precious thing. So if you're feeling lonely and if you're on your own, don't think, oh, this is terrible. You know, I'm so lonely, I'm on my own. Get your Bible out. Have a look. Read some of those Psalms that David has written. Just start to speak to our Heavenly Father. Allow the Holy Spirit to just remind you, I'm here. I'm here for you. In Proverbs chapter 18, it says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. That's Jesus. He sticks closer to us. And actually, if you think about it, I think I must have read this somewhere. I don't think I've made this up. But in order to have a friend, you need to be a friend. Sometimes we stand back and we wait for people to approach us, and then we can sit there and think, well, nobody spoke to me. Oh, nobody bothered with me. But actually, how do you know there's not another person sitting there thinking, nobody's spoken to me, nobody's bothered with me. Maybe if you get up and go and speak to that person, you'll find that actually you've got things in common. So be prepared to be a friend if you want a friend. Because friendship is a two-way thing. Become the friend to someone that you would like to have. Maybe you've had lots of suggestions from well-meaning friends like join a club, get out, do more, meet more people. And maybe you just find that so difficult. Maybe that will help you. But maybe the following things I'm going to say to you will help you to break free from thinking and emotions and behaviour that may be at the root of your loneliness. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you to identify things that you can do. So maybe the first thing that we need to do is actually to admit that there's a problem. Only after you acknowledge that you're lonely can you then take the necessary steps to get out of that. Maybe as well consider what's caused your loneliness. Is it, as I said, because of broken relationships? Or you may be feeling that you're not going to be the first one to make the step to put things right. Tim spoke last week about the importance of forgiveness. Maybe that's something that you need to think and pray about before God and say, you know, are there things that I need to put right to enable me to restore those relationships that have been broken? So evaluate your life honestly and ask the Holy Spirit to shine His light onto those things. Another thing is to accept what cannot be changed. If you've lost, you know, your partner or a member of your family, or if you've been moved because of your job, or there are other circumstances, maybe because of illness, there are things that you physically can't change, that it's just things that have happened. Just pray and ask that God will use those transitions in your life to open doors to new experiences, new friendships, but be willing to let go of the past and move on. But then alter the things that you can change. Many of the things that we've talked about can be overcome. Do you fear rejection? Do you think, well, if I go and speak to someone, they won't want to speak to me? Do you feel that actually it's safer to stay at home? It's easier to stay and watch the telly. You know, how many people now, the television is their friend? Facebook, you know, you can have hundreds of friends on Facebook and never actually meet and talk to anyone. That's not friendship. That's not relationship. So change the things that we can change. Take measures that will meet the problem head on, and then develop new habits. Build up your inner self. You know, the Bible, we sort of look at it as one book, but actually, if you think about it, all these books were written by different people. So Paul's written some of them. Moses wrote some. You know, the disciples wrote some. Read the different books, because they're all different personalities. They're all different characters. They all had different issues and things that they were facing and deal with. If we want to learn how to deal with things, let's learn from them. They're ordinary people like us. We put them on a pedestal sometimes, but actually we can learn from their mistakes and the things that they do to address those things. So Paul, he did that, didn't he? We looked about how he addressed things head on. He didn't wallow in prison, but he did something about it. Let's be aware of each other. Let's make time for each other. But also, let's remember that there are people in our community, in our workplace, who may be struggling. For those of you that are friends with me on Facebook, you may have seen that I put a little video clip on loneliness. It was funny, actually, because I'd started preparing my sermon, and then this clip popped up. So whether it was because I'd been Googling my facts and that this thing came up. But it shows a man going into a shopping centre, and there are some people, you know, how you always see people sitting on benches. And so he went up and just sat down next to them, and then he just starts to talk. And first of all, you sort of, you know, you get the people that, you know, sort of look and think, who is this man and why is he talking to me? But gradually he starts to speak, and then as he's talking to one person, then another person joins in, and then gradually he moves away, and then he looks back and sees that the people that had all been sitting on their own are now talking to each other, and they didn't know each other before. So even simple things like when you're on the bus, if there's a person sitting on their own, you know, say hello to them. They might not necessarily want you to sit next to them. You might not want to, but just to acknowledge, even to be acknowledged, especially, you know, if some people are feeling lonely and thinking, does anyone even know I exist? To have someone nod to you and say good morning. Somebody has recognised that you are here, that you exist, that you are a person. We don't have to go into big, long conversations, but just to recognise someone and say hello. It doesn't cost us anything, does it, just to do that? And then maybe we can start to think about that and build on that. Because, you know, we're all, every day, we're always bumping into, maybe you walk the dog. I understand, not that I have a dog myself, but that's an excellent way to meet people, to get chatting to people. Or standing in a shopping queue. I very often have conversations in a shopping queue with people when we're looking at the length of the queue. And so take the opportunities. Let's look out for these people that are feeling lonely. And I just want to remind us as I finish and as we pray together, of some verses that I hope you will be encouraged by and you will carry with you when you begin to feel lonely and maybe you feel that God doesn't know who you are. It's in Romans chapter 8, verses 38. Sorry. And they say this, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this morning, if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling that nobody knows that you exist, if you are feeling that, you know, life is just a struggle and friendship is too much of an effort to make, just remember that God sees us. He knows us. He loves us. He's there for us. His love never changes. That we are never alone. We are don't need to feel lonely because he is with us. You think, well, yes, but I can't. It's not like I can see him or touch him or talk to him. Actually, yes, you can, because you see him in each one of us here. He speaks through each one of us, and we need to be willing and open to do that. So let's be aware of who, where each of us are. When someone isn't here for a little while, maybe make that phone call, because maybe they're sitting at home thinking, nobody cares, I'm lonely. Let's be aware, let's look around, let's see what's going on. And let's recognise that loneliness can be in here as well as out there. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have made that promise that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you are here, that your name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Lord, we just thank you for that. And Lord, for those times when maybe life becomes hard and friends seem to drop away, or our circumstances mean that our friendships change. Lord, thank you that you don't change, that you are always with us. And Lord, thank you that you have said that you have put us into families, that you take the lonely and you put us in a family. You take the fatherless, you take the orphans, you take the widows, you take those that maybe are on the fringe of things, that don't have those contacts. You take them, you take us all, and you put us into your family. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you become our Father who loves us and cares for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you become our friend and our brother, and that you are there for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you dwell in each one of us. And Lord, we just pray that just as you do that for us, just as you have restored that relationship and that friendship with us, that, Lord, we can take that word out to those who maybe don't know you yet, who maybe need to know you to begin to fill that gap of loneliness. And Lord, would you help us to be your hands and your feet and your voice to those who are lonely, those who need to hear a word, a kind word, an encouraging word. Lord, please would you take us and use us. And Lord, this week would you start with us. Amen.